Everybody give, turn and look and give a hand wave and say hello. Praise the Lord. Glad to see some of my, I'm sorry, not trying to say anything about anybody else, but glad to see some of my favorite people here today, especially when she makes chow mein for us. So today is a different day, of course. I don't normally speak, but a long time ago, this speaker at Our Ladies Retreat made a comment, and it stuck with me. She said, it's not about the messenger, it's about the message. And so today, we're not worried about who the messenger is. We are more concerned with the message and what God has to say to us today. So, one more time, Pastor, I'm going to ask you to lead in prayer. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we look for you, the author and the finisher of our faith, in Jesus' name. Thank you. You may be seated for the moment. I am going to reach, probably mostly teach today, so you're in for a Bible study primarily, today on the topic of choosing sides. Great. When we think about choosing sides, sorry, I'd like to stand, but I can't. When we think about choosing sides, our minds usually go back to school years. When you're choosing sides for sports, or you're choosing sides because your friends have had a fight, and you are going to take one side or the other. That often happens, let's hope, just in childhood. One of these scenarios and others like them, the two sides are opposite each other. They are opposing. In the sports, they wear pennies or colors to define which side they are on. I have on occasion played sports where we had to mix up the pennies because there weren't enough, and it was incredibly confusing. A lot of the times you ended up passing the ball to the wrong person. And it was doubly terrible if they scored. So you are left in no doubt with spectators quite often with their little flags, their colored hair, their colored clothes, or even the logos they've got engraved into their sides of their head, what team they're on. In the church, you would think that this distinction would be extremely clear. But it's not always so clear. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. In Sister Doty's newest book, The Final Stretch, she writes, I believed that depression was Satan's favorite end time tool. He still does use depression. It is indeed one of his favorite tools. But now with passing times, I see his primary tool is deception. Deception is everywhere amongst God's people. Raymond Woodward adds, let's not lose sight of the big picture in the little picture of our everyday life, because Jesus is coming soon. Things are beginning to accelerate and intensify, and we can all say amen to that. So in Matthew 13 and 12, if you can turn there, otherwise you can see it on the screen. Matthew 13 and 12 says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundantly. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. And then moving down to verse 15, it says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. This is God's description of God's people. Let that sink in for a second. This is God's description of God's people, the people that were supposed to be on God's side. But the condition of their hearts spoke otherwise. Somewhere in their walk with God, they stopped hearing and seeing in the truth. Somewhere in their walk with God, they allowed their hearts to wax gross with fleshly desires. And somewhere in their walk with God, they began to listen to the seducing spirits of the enemy, and they became deceived. Here we are today. And wherever we are in our walk with God, it's critical for us to realize that there is a war going on between Satan and God for our souls. We cannot miss that. We cannot be deceived to think otherwise. There is a battle going on above our heads, around us, for our souls. And here we walk along. If we could see in the spirit realm, who knows what we would actually be seeing as we walk along through life, as Jesus Christ fights for our soul. So the question we have to ask ourselves today, as the end times looms over our heads, as we think about the fact that there's a war for our soul, whose side are we on? Let's turn to Matthew 24, 42 to 44. Matthew 24, 42 to 44 says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." So we take that allegory today, and I just want to stop on that for a minute, that scripture for a minute. What's the house? Who's the house? If the good man had known that the thief was coming, he would have watched. What is a thief? It's someone who steals away what you have. But here is our house. Here's our temple. We are the house of God. He dwells in us. So what is the thief trying to steal in these end times? Is he trying to blind our eyes, deafen our ears? It's a wake-up call, isn't it? When you think about it, it's a wake-up call. What is the devil trying to steal from me? Am I ready? Am I ready? Watch and pray. So the scripture says, and I don't have this up here, but in John 3 and 5, it says, be born again of the water and the spirit. In John 3 and 8, it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, and know not whence it cometh or it goeth. So is every one that is born of the spirit. God wants us to be ready. He wants us to be born again of the water and the spirit. He wants us to make that spiritual sound when we receive his spirit. And he wants us to walk in his spirit. Turning to Philippians 1 verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So we do have this confidence. So my goal today is to stir up our thinking, stir up our hearts. But we do have this confidence that God has begun a work in you. You wouldn't be here if he hadn't. You wouldn't be here. So wherever he has, whatever work he has started in you, wherever you feel you are in God, or wherever you truly are in God, which sometimes isn't always the same thing, God is working on you, and you can have that confidence. And here's the catch, if you let him work. That's the catch, if you let him work. So point number one is We need to be intentional about choosing sides. We are not going to make heaven our home by accident. Living for God is a fight against the other side, the opposing team, if you will, who uses our flesh to his advantage. So here we are. We're sold out, wholehearted, serving the kingdom, right? We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? We are the soldiers in his army, right? We are on his side, right? Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32. Verse 15. Starting with verse 15, Exodus chapter 32. Starting with verse 15, we're going to work our way down the chapters. So, let me get it here. Verse 15, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables, And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. Only wish there had been. Well, going on to verse 18. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf, which was the golden calf, and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Going on to 20. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Now going on to 21. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And then going down to verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. The people of God came out of Egypt, but their hearts were still in Egypt. Their priorities and values were still under Egyptian influence. In a time of pressure, when they didn't know what had become of Moses, instead of turning to God, they turned away from God and back to their old idols, their old ways. In a time of doubt and confusion, they return to the ways of Egypt, which typifies the world. We ourselves, in times of stress and times of trouble, it's so easy to turn back to the flesh that we came from. But whose side are we on? If we're on the Lord's side, we need to turn our hearts to him. Moses spoke to the people saying, whose side are you on? Yet only the sons of Levi came and stood with him. So why didn't the rest of them come? There were a lot of people there. Think about that. Were they ashamed of their sin? Were they angry? Were they rebellious? Did they not care? But only the sons of Levi came and stood with Moses when he said, who's on the Lord's side? Come and stand by me. We don't know why they didn't come. We just know they didn't. And so we have to think in ourselves, what stopped them from choosing the Lord's side, and what might stop me from choosing my side? Or not my side, the Lord's side. What might be in my heart that will stop me? Shame? Come unto me, child, I love you. I'm too ashamed, God, you can't forgive me. Come unto me, child, I love you. But God, I still have this in my life and I'm not quite ready to let it go. Come unto me, child, I love you. But God, I've been so hurt. And so it goes. These people were not intentional about whose side they were on. Which brings up, and their actions in the time of stress and trial showed, louder than words, that they were not on the Lord's side. So point number two, which side we are on is not based on our words, but on our actions. This is probably the area where we're most susceptible to deception. Because we believe in God, and we talk about God, doesn't that automatically put us on God's side? But cute little posts on Facebook, cute little words, they don't put us on God's side. Our actions show whose side we're on. So if I'm playing a game and I'm scoring for the opposite team, I am pretty clear, it's pretty clear I'm not on the side I say I'm on. And if I am saying that I love God and I believe in God and yet I do not obey God and his word, then my actions are declaring that I am not on the Lord's side. Turning to Luke chapter 6, verse 46. The Lord says it quite clearly. And the point is that I don't care where we are with our walk with God. Sister Doty, in her book, The Final Stretch, and I recommend you read it. I have a copy. If you ever want to borrow it from me, you're welcome to do so. She talks about how an elderly lady in her 80s, grown up in the church, lived for God all her life, and her family took her on vacation and convinced her that it was okay because she was older now to indulge in all kinds of sinful acts that were not of God. And she knew better. I mean, we can hope she just had dementia. God would be merciful in that case, hopefully. But nevertheless, it doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been living for God, we have to be aware we're in a war and the deceiver wants our soul. So Luke 6 and 46, as soon as I get there myself, says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say, which I say?" So moving on from that, there is an allegory in the Bible, many allegories actually, referring to taking of sides, but one in particular that spoke to me was the sheep versus the goats. So I'm trying to move in to clarify. We have to imagine the sheep on this side and the goats on this side. And they're in a game together. Let's pretend it's a football game. And you can only imagine the sheep's helmet with little ram's horns and the goat's helmet with little pokey horns sticking up. Isn't that funny? They're little like the devil's horns. No. Nothing implied there. Not at all. Anyways, they're on opposite sides. One side are the sheep and one side are the goats. The sheep are the ones who are intentional about submitting themselves to their shepherd. They depend on the shepherd for their care and well-being. They are God's people. Their actions speak louder than their words. I am God's people. Psalm 79, verse 13, and then we'll go from there to Psalms 100 and verse 3. Psalm 79 and verse 13. It says, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. And then going to Psalms 100, a little bit further on, verse 3. It says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We want to be God's people, but we cannot forget that sheep and goats are on opposite sides. The character of the goat is to be independent, wayward, and rebellious. The goat is impatient of restraints and will escape from fences to keep them safe. Goats will lead the sheep astray to graze in pastures not intended for God's people. So before me today, if you've been wondering, there's some green tape on the ground, symbolizing the line of our life, the pathway of our life, which comes to a certain point, and then it splits one way or the other, on the right and on the left. You can't go both. You have to make a choice, sheep or a goat. In Matthew 25, we'll turn there. Matthew 25, starting with verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Let me say that again. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Going to 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. 41, then he shall say unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I want to be on the right side, but how do I know? This is how I know, Scripture. A sheep hears and obeys God's voice. That's how I know I'm on the right side. I both hear and I obey God's voice. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 1 through 8. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Let's just stop there for a second. We already talked about somebody who's trying to thieve and rob our souls. And if you don't, if he doesn't enter by the door, if he doesn't enter by salvation's plan, if he doesn't enter by the word of truth, it's not the shepherd, it's the thief. Verse 2 again, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow. Remember, we talked about deception. But will flee from him. Verse 5. For they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The sheep might not be the brightest of animals. Who here wants to be a sheep today? We might not be the brightest of animals at times. I saw something that showed the shepherd pulling a sheep out of a ditch, and then the sheep went right back into the ditch again. We're not always the brightest, but we have a shepherd. A sheep knows and hears the voice of and obeys the voice of its shepherd. We need to be like sheep, ladies and gentlemen. We need to hear and we need to obey. Our hearts need to be open to God's voice as he speaks to us. Here's something really important. When God speaks to you, don't set it aside for a later time. You'll forget it. Obey when God speaks. Sometimes it may cost. It may cost a sacrifice. But obey, because you're sheep and you know the voice of your shepherd. Unfortunately, sometimes the opposite is true. We turn to Zechariah chapter 7. I might just cheat and read it off my sheet for a second. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother. These are instructions of the Lord. Let's obey the Lord. Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against your brother in your heart, his brother in your heart. Do you have evil against your brother in your heart? Do you have aught against your brother? God says, don't do it. 7 verse 11, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Then Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. We've heard something similar, a couple of scriptures similar about they hear and they hear. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. Their hearts will not receive the word of God. You know, Jesus also says, but I thank God for you because you see. You hear. I thank God for you today that are sitting here because you're here because you want to hear the word of God. You're here because you want to do right. You're here because you have a heart to listen to God's word and to obey it. You want to be sheep. But we do have to be careful of what voices we're listening to, what sources they come from. We talk a lot in our church about, well, in a lot of churches, about what we see, what we put before our eyes, but what are we putting in our ears? We listen to these TikTok videos, and I've heard a few, and they're philosophies being promoted that are not of God. If you listen If you research the individual, you find that they don't believe in God, your God. They don't believe in your God. So what are they slipping in there? What are they putting in your mind? That one little untruth or that one distracting thought? What music is speaking into your heart? You know, I did a study on this in our Sunday school class one day, our teen class, and I did probably the most horrible thing anybody could ever do. And I'll tell you what I did in a minute. To this day, I shudder. Because what I did, first of all, we learned about the fact that worship music is the one thing on in heaven that it is here on earth. That ministers in heaven and it ministers on earth. And then I played Satan music. I played satanic music. And you could feel the spirit. Even right now, I shiver at the memory. You could feel the demonic spirit coming off that. And I turned it off pretty quick. And I said, okay, you heard that. You felt that. That's not what you need to be putting in your ears. It can come in other forms. It can come a little bit more sugar-coated. But you need to be listening to God's music, worship music, music that will speak to your heart and lift you up, not bring you down. We have to be careful what voices are in our ears. We have to be careful that our ears are not dull of hearing. Why do we turn to the things of the world when there's answers in the church? Let's turn to 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. Everybody say amen so I know you're not asleep. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Oh, I'm middle of the road. No, you're not. You're left or you're right. Choose your side. As Jesus spoke to the people following him, he often warned them to hear what he was saying. Why? Because it wasn't just about hearing, it was about receiving and doing. So we're going to turn to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to follow a few scriptures there. Mark chapter 4. Starting with verse 23. Mark 4, starting with verse 23, says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. What are you hearing? The word. God. The preaching. And when you hear it, and do more than just hear it, but receive it, you're going to get more. You're going to grow. You're going to become that Christian, that person you want to be. But 25 or 26, sorry, where am I? Sorry, I got lost a second. 25, I believe it is. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Jesus repeated this phrase in a similar fashion multiple times over his ministry. He would talk to people. He would admonish them. He would speak to them. And then he would say, these words. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15. Matthew 11:15. So we're going to follow this a little bit down, follow this along here. Okay, I'm in Mark. Give me just a second there. I thought it was wrong. Matthew 11 and 15. I think we already are probably reading it. Let's read it together. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But it doesn't just stop there. 13 and 9. Same chapter. 13 and 9 says, again, let's read it together. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. 43 of the same chapter. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let's do it together. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4, verse 9. This might seem redundant, but I sure hope you get the point. Mark 4, verse 9. And he saith unto them, ready? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then Mark 4, 23. For there is if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then Mark 7 and 16. Are we getting the point? Mark 7, 16 says, again, let's say it together. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And Luke 8 and 8. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried together, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus would admonish, speak to the people. And then in Luke 14:35 again, he would say, talking about salt, it is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men casteth out. Again, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. God speaks to us, but do we hear? So I'm not going to make, well, actually I will, sorry. Turn to Revelation now, 2 and 7. This will be quicker. I was going to say, I'm not going to make you go through it because of time, but this is actually be a lot quicker. Revelation 2 and 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give the eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Going down to 2 verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Are we hearing the Spirit today? He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Down to verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Down to 29. 2 verse 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation chapter 3, I think you know what it's going to say. 3 verse 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 22, again together, let's say it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As I'm rounding the corner, towards the end, I think we understand. We have to hear the word of God. We have to hear the voice of the shepherd. We have to hear it. And we have to receive it. Just because we talk the talk doesn't mean we walk the walk. Someone asked Sister Bernard why so many Christians are letting old landmarks and standards slip. She answered that she felt it was because so many churches have gone to only one service on Sunday, and many people no longer attend the midweek service. When, she asked, are they getting taught the principles of the word? God's people are being destroyed through a lack of knowledge. Let's turn to Hosea 4, verse 6. Some of these are smaller little books, but they pack punch. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. God uses called and sent preachers to preach the word of God for us to hear. With that, the requirement, of course, is not just to hear but to obey. However, there is no hearing, then there can be no obeying. And here is a truth. God has a word for you in every single service, but you won't hear it if you're not here. There are many ways to hear God's voice through prayer, the word, etc. But according to the scripture, one of the main ways of hearing God's voice is through the preached word. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This is going to shock you, I think. Church attendance, let's go over this first, is about hearing the word of God in the presence of God and the fellow believers. Like I said earlier, it's not the messenger. I don't normally speak. As it turns out, it worked out that way. But God is using me to tell you something today. Perfectly, imperfectly, there's still the word is going forward. Our church attendance is about hearing the word of God, not just a ritual, oh, I go to church. It's hearing the word in the presence of God and fellow believers from the anointed ministry. While you can be blessed with online messages, a steady diet of online services is like watching other people eat a meal from the other room. You can see the food, you enjoy the smell, but you aren't participating and you don't get the true nourishment from it. The decline, and we'll do the next slide there, the decline in church attendance over the years has been astronomical. Coming to the house of God to hear the word preached is now an option, interchangeable with sports, entertainment, work, and a self-serving Laodicean spirit vying for the souls of mankind. Remember, we're in a war. As reported by CBC News in 2019, it was predicted that 9,000 Canadian churches would close their doors in the preceding 10 years. As of 2024, we are already halfway there. October 2nd, 2022, North Shore News. Upper Lonsdale Church closes after 122 years of service. December 23rd, 2022, Maple Ridge Pitt Meadows News. Maple Ridge Church closing doors after 110 years. September 27th, 2023, CFJC Today Kamloops News. After nearly a century in Kamloops, St. George's Anglican Church closes its doors. October 2nd, 2023, Kelowna Capital News. After 95 years, the Big Blue Church in Penticton will hold its last service. Pastor and I were married in that church. Comox Valley, Delta, Ladysmith, Prince Rupert, Victoria, Prince George. And this is just BC. As some churches close their doors to lack of support and attendees, other churches are cutting down the number of services in a week, and people have less time to receive proper teaching from the Word. People are picking and choosing their services or their preacher like church is a spiritual smorgasbord. One thing I've always liked about our church, loved about our church, is the fact that attendance was pretty much the same for every service. People knew how to be faithful, they valued the preaching of the word, and they were hungry to grow. I'll be honest with you, on Wednesday night service, there's barely a handful here. It's changed. Incredibly valuable Bible studies are being taught to a bare few. The teaching of the word that could make a difference between heaven and hell happen on Wednesday nights, but where are the sheep? They are feeding themselves elsewhere. It's time to choose sides. It's time to wake up. It's time to realize you got to fight for your truth. You got to fight. You're in a warfare. So not attending church. Oh, big deal. One person's not there. You missed what God had for you that day. On top of that, you are not holding up your side. You're not holding your flag. I know Pastor and I have looked at each other in times and said, you know what? Sometimes I almost feel like we almost felt like not having Wednesday night service. Because, not because of the people that were here, because we thank God for them, but because of all the ones that weren't here. The table is spread and five people are here to eat. And this is not, I'm not saying this in condemnation. What I'm saying this is, it's a wake-up call. We are in a war. We need to fight for our church. Look at all the churches that are closing their doors. Look at all the churches that are losing the word of God because they're shutting down services because people don't come to all the services. And because of a lack of knowledge, people are now sliding away from truth. And when the day comes, when the sheep and the goats come before the Lord, there's going to be a separation, and more than a few people are going to be shocked because they were deceived by the devil into thinking they were on the right side because they said it, but they didn't do it. Hebrews 10, and I'm done. Hebrews 10. Pastor will be glad to get the pulpit back. Pray I haven't done too much damage, but at the same point, I feel like it had to be said. It took me a long time to write down and rewrite what is written down here today, but it was on my heart and it had to be said. Because souls are slipping down, slipping away, one service at a time, one truth at a time. Hebrews 10, chapter 23. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Brothers and sisters, tonight we want to be the sheep, both knowing and hearing the word of our shepherd, the voice of our shepherd. We want to determine to stand up, stand out, and stand strong for Jesus. We want to decide in our hearts, and no matter what other people do, we're going to hold on to the truth. We were raised, some of us, in this. But it doesn't matter whether you're raised in it or whether you come to it at some point or another in your life. The truth is the truth, and it's got to be fought for. It's not just a habit. It's a truth. We're going to be faithful to the Word of God, and we're going to be faithful to the house of God, because we want to be on the Lord's side. As Sister Wilson comes, and I am done. I just want to ask everybody here today, I'm going to ask Pastor to come and take the pulpit, but I just want to, first of all, I want to thank everybody, because you're here today. That's incredibly special. You have no idea. The heart of this pastor, when he looks out in the congregation, I know him because I'm married to him, and he sees you here, and his heart says, they came. If that's the pastor that feels that way, how much more does our God feel? They came. They're here. They're hearing the word. I love you, child. Who's on the Lord's side? Remember? Come. Oh, God, I can't come. I'm ashamed. God, I failed. Oh, no. Come, because I love you. It's time to come. Stay where you are. Come to the altar. It is time to come and choose your side.
Why don't we stand together? Scripture says, as for me and as for my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You think about it today and say, well, I'm serving the Lord. Is it on your terms? Is it on his terms? Is it as long as it fits this side and doesn't cross that side, doesn't contradict what you want to do or what you feel? But when you say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, we've got to say, you know what, I've chosen. I choose. In the Old Testament times, I think it was Joshua, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. The gods which your fathers served that were before the flood, or the God in the land that you dwell today. As for me and my house, I want to serve God. I want to hear the voice of God calling us up. Come up, my faithful ones, my beloved, and enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to be the one that chose the right side. The right side of the cross and the right side of truth. Would you pray with me today? Jesus, we thank you so very much, God. Thank you today for those that are here.